You're listening to an African Elements top news story for February 16, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. DC Health Gap Secrets: Why Neighborhoods Determine Life Expectancy, by Darius Spearman. On February 16, 2026, a series of startling reports brought the reality of Washington, D.C. into sharp focus. These reports highlighted a massive gap in health and survival that exists within the shadow of the United States Capitol. While the city is known as a center of global power and immense wealth, many Black residents face a different reality. Sociologist Sanyu Majola recently released research that describes this situation as a design rather than a series of accidents. The headlines show that where a person lives in the district often determines how long they will live. This health gap is the result of deep historical roots. It is not the result of individual choices or simple bad luck. Instead, the current state of health in the city is a product of social environments that include housing, labor markets, and policing. Residents in certain wards face multiple health crises at once. These crises include high rates of HIV, substance abuse, and maternal mortality. These issues overlap in what researchers call syndemic zones. Understanding the history of these zones is the only way to address the current crisis. The health gap in the nation's capital began nearly a century ago. In the 1930s, the federal government created maps that decided which neighborhoods were safe for investment. The Federal Housing Administration used red ink to mark areas where Black people lived. These redlined areas were labeled as hazardous. This practice prevented Black families from getting mortgages and building wealth through home ownership. Without home equity, families had fewer resources to pay for healthy food or quality medical care. Ward 7 and 8, located east of the Anacostia River, were hit hardest by these policies. While white neighborhoods in Ward 3 received government support and private investment, the east of the river neighborhoods were isolated. This segregation was a deliberate choice by policymakers. Over time, the lack of investment turned these areas into medical deserts. Even though the city became wealthier, the benefits did not cross the river. The wealth-health connection remains a primary driver of the life expectancy gap today. In the 1950s and 1960s, the city underwent a process called urban renewal. Officials claimed these projects would improve the city, but they often destroyed thriving Black communities. For example, the construction of the Southwest Freeway displaced thousands of residents. This destruction broke apart social networks that provided support and health resources. When a community is displaced, the stress and loss of stability lead to long-term health problems. This era of history reflects the divergent philosophies on how to best uplift the Black community during times of systemic oppression. As white residents moved to the suburbs during white flight, private doctors followed them. This left the remaining Black population with fewer options for health care. They had to rely on a small number of hospitals like Freedmen's Hospital, which is now Howard University Hospital. Even after segregation ended, the geographic pattern of care remained. Specialized clinics and primary care offices stayed in the wealthy Northwest wards. This left residents in the east of the river with long travel times for basic medical needs. The February 16th reports frequently used the term syndemic to describe the health crisis in D.C. A syndemic is more than just having two diseases at the same time. It occurs when multiple epidemics interact with social conditions to make health outcomes much worse. In the district, health issues like HIV, opioid addiction, and violence are not separate problems. They are linked together by poverty, housing instability, and racism. Sanyu Majola argues that these conditions are designed into the city's structure. For example, a person struggling with housing instability is at a higher risk for physical illness. They may also face higher levels of stress, which weakens the immune system. When these social factors combine with infectious diseases, the results are deadly. The syndemic zone in D.C. is characterized by high levels of policing and limited access to health care. This environment makes it very difficult for residents to manage chronic conditions. The interaction of these factors leads to a life expectancy that is 15 to 20 years shorter than in wealthier areas. the Anacostia River serves as both a physical and a symbolic barrier in Washington, D.C. On one side, Ward 3 represents the pinnacle of wealth and health. On the other side, Ward 7 and 8 face significant economic challenges. The median household income in Ward 3 is often over $112,000. In contrast, the median income in Ward 8 has historically hovered between $30,000 and $35,000. This economic divide is a direct result of historical segregation and modern market forces. Geography acts as a predictor of life and death in the district. The Anacostia River creates a transportation desert for those living east of the river. Residents must spend much more time commuting to reach high-paying jobs or specialized medical centers. This time tax takes away from hours that could be spent on exercise, sleep, or cooking healthy meals. The physical isolation of these wards reinforces the health gap by making resources harder to reach for those who need them most. Access to healthy food is another area where the health gap is visible. This issue is known as supermarket redlining. Major grocery store chains often choose to build in wealthy areas while avoiding low-income neighborhoods. They may claim that profit margins are too low or that security costs are too high. However, this practice ignores the actual spending power of Black residents. As of early 2026, Ward 3 has approximately 16 full-service grocery stores. Meanwhile, Ward 8 has only one or two for a population of nearly 80,000 people. When residents do not have a grocery store nearby, they must rely on corner stores. These small shops often sell processed foods that are high in sugar and salt. This lack of access is directly linked to higher rates of diabetes and heart disease. For many in Ward 7 and 8, finding fresh vegetables requires a long bus ride. This barrier to healthy eating is a structural choice made by corporations and city planners. It contributes significantly to the 42.8% obesity rate in Ward 8 compared to only 12% in Ward 3. The carceral state plays a major role in the public health crisis, and D.C. high rates of incarceration in Black communities create a cycle called the churn. This is the constant movement of people between the justice system and their neighborhoods. This movement disrupts medical care, especially for people living with HIV. When a person is arrested, they may lose access to their medications. When they are released, it can take months to get back into a treatment program. This disruption causes viral loads to spike, which increases the risk of spreading infectious diseases. Incarceration also breaks apart families and causes chronic stress. This stress manifests as physical disease over time. Research shows that improving the link to care at the time of release is critical for reducing HIV rates among young Black men. The prison system functions as a health hazard that extends far beyond the walls of the jail. It impacts the health of the entire community. The health gap is especially dangerous for Black mothers in the district. Black women are much more likely to die from pregnancy-related causes than white women. They are also nearly 1.5 times more likely to die from breast cancer. These disparities remain even when accounting for age and income. This suggests that the quality of care and the stress of living in a biased system play a major role. Historically, Black women have had less access to prenatal services in their own neighborhoods. The closure of the maternity ward at United Medical Center several years ago created a crisis. It left residents east of the river without a place to give birth close to home. While new facilities have opened, the damage from years of neglect remains. The lack of nearby care forces many pregnant women to travel long distances for checkups. This increases the risk of complications going undetected. Addressing maternal mortality requires more than new buildings. It requires a change in how medical professionals treat Black patients. To address the medical desert east of the river, the city opened the Cedar Hill Regional Medical Center in 2025. This $434 million facility replaced the aging United Medical Center. It is the first full-service hospital and trauma center built in that area in over 20 years. The hospital includes a Level 2 NICU and specialized services like cardiac rehab. This is a major step toward closing the health gap. It provides high-quality care in a neighborhood that has been ignored for decades. However, a new hospital cannot solve every problem. While Cedar Hill provides emergency and specialty care, the density of private specialists remains higher in Northwest DC. There is also a verification period for the new trauma center. This means the most severe cases may still need to be transported across the city for a time. The success of the hospital depends on whether it can build trust with a community that has felt abandoned by the healthcare system. It must be a part of a larger effort to address the social causes of poor health. The health of DC residents is often tied to federal politics. Because DC is not a state, the U.S. Congress has the final say over its local budget. Under the Home Rule Act, lawmakers can block the city from spending its own tax dollars on certain health programs. This includes programs like needle exchanges or reproductive care. When federal policy shifts, DC often feels the impact first and most severely. This lack of voting representation in Congress means residents have little say in the policies that affect their lives. In 2026, the administration of President Donald Trump proposed significant cuts to federal grants. These grants make up over 60% of the DC health budget. Programs for HIV prevention and food access are at high risk. The DC Healthcare Alliance, which covers many low-income residents, also faces rollbacks. These cuts would hit Ward 7 and 8 the hardest. The dependence on federal funding makes the city's health progress fragile. Without steady support, the gap between the wards is likely to widen again. The struggle for health equity in DC mirrors historical debates about the best way to achieve progress. Figures in Black history had different ideas about whether to focus on economic self-reliance or political rights. Some believed in building strong local institutions, while others argued for direct challenges to systemic laws. These divergent leadership styles still influence how community leaders approach health today. Some focus on building new clinics, while others fight for changes in housing and justice laws. To truly close the health gap, the city must address both the medical and social needs of its people. Providing a doctor is important, but that doctor cannot fix a lack of healthy food or a dangerous living environment. True health equity requires a commitment to changing the design of the city. This means investing in affordable housing, improving public transit, and ending supermarket redlining. It also means protecting the local budget from federal interference. The history of DC shows that the health gap was created by design, so it must be unmade by design. The reports from February 16, 2026 serve as a call to action. They remind the public that the health gap is a matter of justice. While the data is grim, there are signs of progress. The opening of new medical facilities and the work of researchers like Sanyu Majola are bringing attention to the problem. Community organizations are also working to fill the gaps left by the government and the private market. They are creating urban gardens and mobile health clinics to reach the most isolated residents. The future of Washington, D.C. depends on its ability to provide a healthy life for all its residents, regardless of their zip code. The nation's capital should be a model for health equity, not a warning of disparity. Achieving this goal requires remembering the history that created the divide. By understanding the roots of redlining and displacement, policymakers can create more effective solutions. The journey to close the gap is long, but it is necessary for the survival of the community. Every resident deserves the chance to live a long and healthy life. Copyright, African Elements.